The Lord be with you.
With you.
I speak to you in the name of God. God present with us, around us, and within us. God who loves us all. Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the nature of God and looking in this Pentecost season about who is God and how do we understand God as progressive Anglicans living in the year 2017. And looking about how the church has evolved its understanding of God for the last 40 years. And how we get to this point and what it means for us today. It's important to understand that the understanding of God today and its evolution and its renewal within the church and for all of us in a way of understanding progressiveness is because we're trying to put into place, as I mentioned last week, the theology of the great councils of the church. The great councils of the church said that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. And we in the church have never really received that and put it into action in our understanding. We understand the theology, but we've never really explored the implications of this until after World War II. And with World War II became the atomic bomb, we realized that we as human beings can do dreadful things, not just in traditional munitions, but also with the atomic bomb, and then the hydrogen bomb, and then we could obliterate the earth. And we started to think, wow, we have to really start understanding, what does this mean for us theologically? And how do we respond? And so there was a movement growing, and it took years, but it found its fruit, and it started to bloom and bear fruit in the Anglican renewal of itself, known as Theology 76, 1976, which is a little over 40 years ago. But unfortunately, we don't seem to know it, and my responsibility, I feel, is to share it. There are 14 points of progressive Anglicanism that I want to roughly go through this morning, and I'll put it on the web as well, because it's a lot to take in. But progressive Anglicanism accepts now that, number one, God is love. And that we understand that Jesus is God, but also that means fully human, fully divine, that God is also totally involved and within every human being. Because the humanness of Jesus wasn't unique to Jesus. We are all human. So the basic understanding then is that God is love. And so we carry God's love, the divinity of God, within us. Next week I'm going to explore more fully, and you can think for yourselves about what's my definition of love. Because God is love doesn't mean anything if we don't have an understanding of what that word love means. And also, understanding that God is love and that Jesus is fully human and fully divine is that God is immanent. That God is right here, right now. That God is right here, right now, all the time. God is right here, right now, not only with the joyful moments of marriage and the birth of children and grandchildren, but also right here, right now, when we face a crisis. When we're in a car accident, we have some serious health event, maybe we get fired, all kinds of things. God is imminently there all the time in all circumstances. And both God is with us as individuals, but also in the community. And not just with us who are Christian. God is intimately present with all of God's creation, the humans and the non-humans. God is also intimately, therefore, connected with the whole of the world. God cares about what's going on with climate change. God cares about what's happening to the seas. God cares about what's happening in the refugees in Syria and all the other trouble spots in Africa and around the world. God is there. He's connected. And God, another point is that God is sensitive and vulnerable to the world developments. That's really quite an understanding. God is sensitive and vulnerable to world developments, our own developments, but everything else going on in the planet and in the universe. God is sensitive and vulnerable to that, does not stand away from it. God makes a difference to the world, but also the world and what's going on in the world makes a difference to God. God is impacted by our own actions as human beings. God was impacted by the development of the hydrogen bomb to be used for destruction. Hydrogen development to be used for clean energy is different. But when it was used for destruction, that has an impact. It both have an impact on God. God is dynamic and vulnerable to being affected by the world and its events. To think about God being vulnerable to world events may be shocking for some of us, but we carry God within us. And so when we act in ways that are not godly, and we've all done it, that's sinfulness, we are hurting God. And God is hurt by our action. The joys of our lives are also the joys to God. So when Kathy and John are celebrating the birth of a grandchild, then that's joyfulness. It's also joyfulness for God. God is not immune to and distant from who we are on our journeys, both as a collective community, but also as individuals. God is also involved and wanting us to be acting in a socially just way. And that's quite a statement. We see that in the book of Acts. But we have parts of the world who claim Christianity who do not care about equitableness, equality, and do not care about social justice for all of God's people, and somehow think if you have a set of small right beliefs, that's all there is to it about being a Christian. But that's not the understanding that we have. We are called to be makers of social justice. We do it in ourselves, but that's God acting in us. And it's a godly act to be doing social justice. God does not stand apart from our lives or the lives of the people and all of creation of the earth. Ecological justice is an advance of divine expression. In other words, as we are becoming more sensitive to what we're doing with climate change and how we are contributing to it and trying to reverse it, that is pleasing to God, but we're also doing God's work. When we do things, we are doing God's work of helping to end the destruction of the earth. Similar is also when God feels a sense of loss when we violate the earth, and we do it through disaster, and we do it through violence to other human beings or to other parts of the earth. And all of this together impoverishes God. Now, the idea of thinking, my God, God is impoverished by our own negative actions? Yes. We are hurting the divine when we act in selfish, hurtful, sinful ways. And God is torn by persistent injustice in our society. It tears God. It tears us at our hearts, but it tears God. We are not distant from God. God is imminent. And that's part of the understanding of the imminent God. God is diminished by the mistreatment of the non-human world. When we take people, things, animals for granted, when we wantonly destroy, then we are having an impact on God. God is diminished. The grandeur, the love, the presence of God is destroyed when we destroy things around us. But on the other hand, God is enriched through the advancement in the world's wellness. So God is enriched today because of people who have taken risks and built new things that are positive. Better health care, better nutrition, better environmental standards. All this is an enrichment of God. Because all of this comes from the understanding that the world is the body of God. We may not think of that often, but the world is the body of God. You see, it has great implications, fully human and fully divine, that God is vulnerable through choice. God chose to come into the world through Jesus. And through that we understand that God willingly made himself vulnerable to the world. And that in Jesus we now understand that God is not omnipotent and omniscient. In other words, all-powerful and all-seeing. That's a great change in the New Testament. But unfortunately, we've never really understood it. We've still adopted an Old Testament way of seeing things. And we try to lay it over the implications of Christianity. But God is not omnipotent and not omniscient. God chose not to be the cosmic monarch in Jesus. God is not the cosmic monarch. Now, I know this is huge kind of theology, but it's on the tape. You'll be able to hear it again. But it's important because that makes a whole new understanding and importance to our own actions. We do not live our lives outside of God. God is within us and in with all people, but we live in that way. That God is vulnerable and sensitive and present with us. But God has freely accepted the risks of vulnerability, working both within and with beyond the world. And God gives us all free agency. And so as we are free to act, we also have to remember in our free action, we have an impact on God in what we do. That we have been given an intelligence and we are called to use that intelligence not with impunity but with sensitivity. And God's power, then you may ask, where is it? Well, God's power is through the Holy Spirit, which is present with us now, and through inspiring us to do godly actions, such as getting involved helping resettle Syrians, such as we generated money to help people in crisis. Our own brother Fred, we've raised money to support him in his journey. That's all inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And there's many, many more examples. All our work at becoming a reconciling community couldn't get that word out. Becoming a society of reconciliation in Canada. That's through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That we've gone beyond our sinfulness, recognized our sinfulness, and are now coming back to try to make one larger body. When people say, well, that's political correctness. No, it's not political correctness. It's really a genuine effort of knowing God is alive in us, and we're striving to be inclusive and sensitive to the needs of all people. It's becoming real and having God really alive in us and being real in our relationships with others. And the end result of all of that is we have an understanding, if you want another $50 theological word, God is omnipresent. That God is present in all things, in all people, at all times. Now we have cousins in Christianity who may not accept that and who have a different view and think that somehow God is the cosmic emperor who's going to come in and save everything. But that's not our understanding. Our understanding is that we are on a journey of wholeness and health based in love. And so today, as we receive our communion, I hope we have that understanding of the real presence of God within us, the real presence of God alive within us, and that we are the hands and feet, the eyes, and the decision makers of God alive in the world. It is a responsibility based in love. And I pray that through the inspiration and the infilling of the Holy Spirit on us all, we live it out as we have been commissioned to do. May God bless us all. Amen.